Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
On Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me, of course, is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, I don't know where I got contest from. 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, hey, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings. So if you haven't had a chance to get over there and see what went up there yesterday, you can do that now. So swing on over there, check that out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit the link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. You know, if you could like it while you're over there, Dan and I would really appreciate that. Again, we still don't know what's up with Mr. Fantasy and that, but Dan and I would really appreciate that. And of course, don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at
Dan the Man.
So, all right, Dan. You know, sometimes I get so excited for a sporting event, or I look, I look so forward to something that I screw the days up. I was looking yesterday. I checked every freaking NBC channel. And for the life of me, I couldn't figure out why they didn't have the hockey game on. I'm like, man, it's game 7. You can't tell me they're not showing, you know, Jets and Predators. I'm all over the place. I'm looking for it. Finally, I said, no, something's got to be up. So I grabbed the phone. Well, actually, I grabbed the tablet because my phone is garbage at this point in time. I grabbed the tablet. I pull up the schedule, and, yeah, they're playing tonight. So, yeah.
I saw your tweet and I was sitting down, so I immediately responded or if my iPad's kind of late, but I was confused because I went to the channel. You know, the nice thing with Comcast, Xfinity X1 box is you hit the letter C on your remote and it pulls up all your sports. And I had to do a triple take because I was like, wait a minute, I've got my Predator shirt on because Big Jack said it's Predators Jets tonight. And he also, you know, we ended the podcast with that. And it just kept saying Thursday. So I folded my T-shirt and threw it away for the night.
Yeah, you know, I led the blog with that because I was exciting for a game 7. And I mean, I honestly thought that they were playing last night. It was just one of those senior moments, brain cramps, whatever you want to look at it as. You know, and I guess I'm just kind of so used to the NHL being an every other day playoff setup that them getting the extra day kind of goofed me up. You know, like in the NBA, yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised that, yeah, you know, in the NBA, I'm not surprised that they get weeks off at a time. But, yeah, in the NHL, I was gone. I was out to lunch.
Well, you know why? They were smart.
You know why?
They didn't want to go up against the mothership game Wednesday Night Baseball. Boston Red Sox versus the Yankees. The only thing I could think of.
Yeah. You know, well, they got to go up against it tonight. Of course, it is just on the MLB network, so there isn't quite as much,
yeah.
You know, household stuff going on there. So, we, you know, I don't think, you know, the MLB doesn't reach as many households as the Mickey Mouse Network does. So, we should be, they should be okay there.
So, but either way, I think it'll be a good series or a good game to end the night. You know, I'm leaning for the Predators, but We'll see what happens. And I don't know if you have the schedule in front of you. I didn't pull it up because I was pulling something else up to talk about next. But do they start this weekend, Saturday, Sunday, I'm assuming? Conference finals,
Yeah, give me a second here. I should be able to get that for you real quick. But yeah, I believe I saw that they're starting. You know, I want to say, for some reason I thought it was Sunday night. But let me double check that so I don't give out any more wrong information than I did yesterday here. No, actually we have Washington at Tampa Bay tomorrow. Friday night at 7 o'clock. So they're going nice. Friday, Sunday. They haven't scheduled the Western Conference final yet, which is kind of surprising. My guess is it'll probably be Saturday because, you know, they have the open date then. I don't think they would make Winnipeg or Nashville play back to back. So, but yeah, they're right there and ready to get started.
Well, I mean, it all depends. If Nashville wins, it'll be at home Saturday night. But if Winnipeg wins, you know, they're on the road.
Are they? Because they had the second best second best point total in, in hockey, actually. Yeah, it was Nashville and Winnipeg at the top of the board this year.
Hmm. I was off then. Going when the air moves.
So, you know, I mean, you could still be right because I think, you know, Las Vegas won their division. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is possible that, you know, they could still be the host team or the home team. You know, those things are weird or odd or strange like that. So.
A little thrown off with the reseeding of the playoff spots.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still a little surprised the NHL hasn't somehow figured out a way to not have Pittsburgh and Washington meet until, you know, the conference finals. Because they seem to continue to run into each other, you know, in the second round here. So you would think by now that they would have come up with a plan.
But I mean, we're, you know, roughly a week out from the Stanley Cup, so it'll be exciting. But what I really wanted to go with when I saw this, and I had to get your take on it, I hit a button and I accidentally got taken to NFL cheerleading. Can still be saved. Yay, I didn't know it was in trouble. The mothership announced their new Monday night crew with Tessitore, Witten, McFarlane, and Salters. Except for Jason Witten, and I really don't know Booger McFarlane or Tessitore or Salters. So what's your take on it?
Who's the, I know, obviously, McFarlane and Witten are former players. I'm guessing Lisa Salters is going to do the sideline reporting. I know she's done that for the NBA. What's the other name? I didn't hear what you said there.
Joe Tessitore.
Yeah, no idea. I'm guessing he must just be the play-by-play guy.
He's been one of the network's top announcers for 16 years on boxing, college football, and basketball, including college football player finals. So this will actually be his first NFL assignment. So that's probably why you're not a whole lot familiar with him.
No idea. When they're announcers that aren't former players or, you know, guys like that I don't pay a ton of attention to. I have no idea who this guy is. I've probably never heard him call a game. So.
Well, I mean, technically, it's all the sports you really don't watch. I mean, I know you haven't watched much boxing on
Yeah.
ESPN. I know you don't watch college football and basketball. So, it looks like he's been down there doing the college stuff for the last 16 years.
Yeah, I mean, like I only watch bits and pieces of like that kind of stuff, so not enough to know who's actually calling the game. So, we'll see how it goes. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Does it make a, I mean, with the exception of Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, does it make a difference who's calling the game?
Only if it's what's his name from the Bears that used to be the quarterback. Why can't I think of his name right now?
McMahon?
No, it was everybody's favorite that played for Miami last year. Jay Cutler.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. Well, hopefully, I don't know if Cutler's going to end up doing games. I know he was originally going to do some games for CBS, but now they're, it looks like he's going a different route there. So, I thought I heard he was going to end up in the booth now that he's officially retired again. So we'll have to see. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, does the announcement of the booth make you any more excited for Monday Night Football? I mean, I don't watch much of it now, because of my time frame, but yeah, I mean, do you care?
No, that's part of the reason I brought it up. I thought it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
But does that change the odds for Vegas? I don't know, but the thing I really found interesting, which I think you brought up before, but there's 275 days and counting, 1 hour, 17 minutes, and 31 seconds to go before we kick off the Alliance of American Football. And it was just announced today that the Memphis team is going to be coached or managed by none other than Mike Singletary. So, I mean, they're going after some,
Coach.
I'm assuming, big names.
Yeah, they're
Well, they
coaches
only
in
have three.
football. They're my guy.
Yeah, I know. So, but they only have three cities: Atlanta, Memphis, and Orlando. Do you know much about this? Charlie Ebersol and Bill Polian's league here.
I saw the story today about Singletary. I know Steve Spurrier is on board to coach a team. So, they're gonna get some name value out of their coaches. So, that's a big plus. I mean, that's a way to generate a little, at least a little buzz. I mean, Spurrier was a great college coach, not very good in the pros, but he was a great college coach. And of course, Singletary's a Hall of Famer, former Bear, Super Bowl winner. Had that odd little flame out when he was the 49ers coach, so we'll have to see how that goes, but maybe people will forget about that. Yeah, I mean, it's as good a
Yeah.
choice as any, right, at this point.
Yep. And Brad Childress is the Atlanta Alliance team coach.
Oh, okay. He's going to get the job there. I know he had 1 year in the NFL, and I think his team went like 1-15 or something, and he got canned. He's always been a good
Yeah.
offensive coordinator, but for some reason it didn't transition into the head coaching job for them. And you wonder if guys like Singletary or Childress could use this to kind of pole vault themselves back into the NFL's eye.
And you'll never guess who is the offensive coordinator.
For which team?
The Atlanta team. Just guess. Think
Oh, who?
Atlanta. Michael Vick.
Oh, okay. So, oh, that's okay. Yeah, for some reason I thought he was involved with the other league. So, yeah. Well,
Now,
that'll be good. I mean, revamp his image.
it's interesting. Yeah, and if you're in one of these three cities, you can put your $50 down to get your, for your season tickets. I guess for the, season ticket deposit. Okay, I get it. Orlando, I think it's a good landing spot. Memphis, but why would you go to Atlanta? I know this league isn't supposed to, straight up compete with the NFL, but did you, I guess I would have figured they would pick maybe another city that doesn't have a professional football team already there.
Yeah, Atlanta is such a strange town that I honestly don't know if it matters. I mean, none of those teams sell out. So it's almost to the point of, we're going to stick this team here and, we'll see if people actually show up to watch it. In most cases they don't. So I don't know if it's, if the Falcons will have any type of effect on what the, what or how this team will draw.
And if you're interested, Big Jack, possibly moving, and when this season kicks off, you can. They won't have it out till the fall, but join the broadcast team. So if you stick tuned to their web, possibly apply for the broadcast team. We both know that I can't do it. I don't know jack about football. I would know Michael Vick. I know Childress' name a little bit, Mike Singletary. I would bring up the Super Bowl shuffle one too many times, and everybody would hate me. But something to keep in mind. I might shoot more for the accounting and finance job if they're in Chicago, which I doubt. But, I think it's an interesting thing. It's probably something I'll definitely, check out. What are your thoughts on it? Is it something you might look into?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm exactly
the league in general.
Yeah, the league. Yeah, I mean, it's always one of those things I'll gladly check out. It's football. I'm always interested to know who they've gotten to play. Is it going to be young guys who are looking for a shot? Or is it going to be veteran guys who are trying to get themselves back into the league? So that, that's always kind of interesting to see how that works out or how it goes. On the plus side for them, they're playing in February. The weather sucks, so why not watch football? It's not like you're going to be spending a ton of time outside, right?
No, especially not here. If they make it all the way through April, I think, here they could have some good ratings because we're not doing jack. But I guess the couple of the other teams, Southern California, possibly Phoenix, and then Salt Lake City. So I guess you've got your three, quote, West Coast teams, so to speak, and then your three East Coast. I don't know if they're going to have more than 16.
Yeah, I don't remember what their plan was out of the gate, how many teams they were going to go with, and all that other kind of fun stuff. So, I guess we'll have to kind of wait and see, what they figure out and how many owners they can actually get.
Yeah. Well, I think Salt Lake City is a good landing spot. Phoenix, I'm a little, but I guess bringing a team back into Phoenix itself. And then that time of year is a great time of year to kind of be outside there in Phoenix. So I don't know a whole hell of a lot about Salt Lake City except for, there's those, free some of the people from some of those cultish religions.
So, yeah, I don't know how things are going to go, but I mean, they seem like they have a pretty good plan. You know, now it's just the process of being able to kind of put it together and pull it off, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, that and the fact that, you know, they're getting out of the gate before, you know, Vince McMahon, you know, he's not due to start up till what, the year after?
2020, yeah. Well, you know, and I guess
yeah.
what's going to attract the cities and, you know, potential owners is the fact that their TV partner is CBS Sports Network, which, I mean, to be honest, really fails in comparison to any of the other sports networks we have. You know, I know NBC is still kind of launching, but going with the hockey and then grabbing NASCAR, I think was good for them. You know, with CBS, I think the only thing I've really ever seen on there was some college baseball. I haven't really gone to their network for, you know, they're not a network you go to, I guess you could say. So I think this will help give them some attention and, you know, they can play off with each other.
I believe they're covering Arena League games. I actually did not know that the Arena League was still up and running, but yeah, I believe CBS, the sports network, handles the Arena League games.
But, you know, that was for a little while there with the Chicago Rush and whatever other teams were going on, but that just seemed to really kind of disappear from, you know, I don't want to say mainstream because I wouldn't say it went that high, but, you know, it garnered some big attention here in Chicago for a while, but then just completely kind of disappeared.
Yeah, you know, I think it was a novelty, you know, and it was something new and something different, and it was like, oh, hey, you know, look at this. It's, you know, this, you know, this goofy football league where they're going to play indoors and, you know, all this stuff. But, yeah, I think it got old in a hurry.
You know, they even had their own minor league offshoot, which I attended one, which was kind of interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it was humorous how many of those leagues popped up as soon as, you know, that one got going. It was like all of a sudden there were all these little, you know, different little indoor leagues. Like, wait, what level is this? You know.
So. Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, does Chicago even have a team still? I don't even know.
I'm trying to be quick. You kind of babble about something, maybe I could find it.
So yeah, because you know, I had a friend. This is back when the team actually first started out. He had a buddy who wanted to try out, and he went with just to kind of hang out and see what's going on. And he was a former college player, so he was interested in, you know, what they were going to do and how they were going to do it. And humorously, they didn't have very many people show up at the tryout. So they asked him to try out, and they ended up offering him a deal because he had a really good skill set as a lineman and he could long snap, which is a big plus in leagues like that. But yeah, it was, the money was just so minimal that it wasn't worth him leaving his day job for it. So he didn't even bother to, you know, really seriously look at it.
It appears that they were done as of 2014.
Oh, okay. So, well, that answers our question then. Yeah, because I didn't remember hearing or seeing much about them. And, you know, you can't figure, you know, these, you know, can these things really be money makers?
Well, I mean, it was on the likes of indie wrestling, but I think the problem they had compared to indie wrestling was they tried to go a lot bigger.
Yeah, you know, and things like that, you know, there are no, you know, there aren't the shortcuts you can take that, you know, you can take in as an indie wrestler, you know, as a fed like that. I mean, there's plenty of shortcuts you can take. You know, I'm willing to bet, like, they didn't let these guys be uninsured, because that could probably be a big problem.
Yeah. Well, not only that, I mean, I went to the, you know, the quote minor league version of it. And, you know, it was the Schaumburg Slaughter who I just dinged, but like nothing came up. So I'll definitely do some digging tonight when I get home. So I just have to see if, you know, what happened or if they even had a website or whatever. But, you know, when I went, it was at the Sears Center in Hoffman Estates. So, which, you know, was not Schaumburg. So, but, you know, they're, I don't know if you want to call them their coach or, you know, whatever their, the guy, their claim to fame was the fact that they had Steve McMahon. Is that the guy from Chicago?
McMichael,
not,
yeah. McMichael.
Steve McMichael. Mongo. Yeah, I lived in the same damn town as him when he was trying to run for mayor. How could I forget? But, you know, I mean, that was their claim to fame. And that was, you know, before Michael got off all the prescriptions and the opiates and could stand up straight and walk. It was pretty, it's kind of depressing to see him there all hunched over and just the sunglasses on and a giant leather coat and could barely walk and move. But again, it was at the Sears Hoffman Estate Center. And, you know, this was minor league arena football. This is not major, you know, football program. And I went to go get a slice of pizza, and we were still paying, you know, big time venue prices. So I think that was one of the reasons that, you know, things like that didn't survive.
Yeah,
actually,
well,
I didn't
you
even
know,
buy
I mean,
it
yeah,
because
you
I didn't want to spend the money.
Yeah, you have to kind of know your audience, don't you? I mean, if that's what. You know, I mean, I guess that would probably just be a venue thing, right? That's why they were charging that?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that was part of it. But, you know, a majority of it, I mean, they did end up drawing like 1,000 people. But again, you know, I was there on a promotion type deal. So we obviously, the 20 of us that showed up, I think there was that many, we didn't pay for tickets. And a majority of the people that were there were family of the players for both sides of the teams. So I don't really know what the revenue draw was for them. And, you know, being, or not the Hoffman Estates, but the Sears Center being a kind of a bigger venue, there was a nice price tag to, you know, rent or lease or whatever their deal was.
So, yeah, I never saw, you know, never saw any of the games, never really had an interest in checking it out, you know. But, you know, since we ended up on arena football, can you tell me, do they still have the Legends League? Do the girls still play? Oh. Or the women, I guess I should say?
I don't know. You know, did we talk about that much last year? You know, the thing was, is I think that it could have, I think they could have done something with it, but they go about it all wrong. Number one, the scheduling is totally screwed up. And then what the girls are, you know, what the women are playing in, I think is just completely outlandish. You know, it was just, you know, I get it. You know, when they first did it, it was pay-per-view. It was the Lingerie Bowl. It wasn't the League of Legends. It was a bunch of women in lingerie playing football, which was pretty interesting. And they're beating the crap out of each other. I think with the way they were doing it now, I think they can alter the uniform slightly to where they're maybe just less revealing. You know, obviously you don't have to go men's style, but I think something a little bit more appropriate. And, you know, if you want to do baseball cards, quote, and, you know, have them in something else, I guess, to go that route. But, you know, the way they were doing it, I don't think they could ever really draw. I think they had the wrong kind of people.
All right, well,
that were trying to run the league.
Interest. interestingly, there's a game tomorrow. It is week five, May 11th, 2018. The Chicago Bliss versus the Los Angeles Temptation. So it looks like, and I am on the site is LFLUS.com. If you're looking for it, it appears that they have eight teams.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see, the Austin Acoustic, I mentioned the Temptation, the Atlanta Steam, the Nashville Knights. So next time you go to Nashville, Dan, maybe you can catch a game. I mentioned the Bliss. There's the Omaha Heart, the Seattle Mist, and then the Denver Dream are the eight teams that are still participating in the what is now the LFL, but it's the Legends Football League. It's no longer the Lingerie Football League.
Which is stupid in itself. Why not just call it Lady?
So, yeah, I would wonder why they went that route instead of that. But I know that the tagline said week five, but here it apparently looks like the teams have all only played one game, and the Mist and the Steam haven't played yet. So.
Yeah, now you see what I mean by the scheduling? It's so out there and kind of unorganized. Like, how can you actually get behind it? How you have to be more a fan of the entire league than a team, because your team is only going to play once a month.
Yeah, it looks like that's kind of how it's set up. Like, the Bliss played, oddly enough, they played Los Angeles on Saturday, February 14th. Now, let's see. Yeah, now neither team has played since, and now they're playing again, this time in Los Angeles. Interestingly, Dan, that game was at the Sears Center in Hoffman Estates.
Go figure.
And just so you know, the Bulls won 28-6, so they must have a pretty good defense.
Hey, good for them.
But, yeah, so, yeah, I guess that's what they're counting as being week five. It looks like it's just one game a week. So.
Yeah, I mean, so how can you really kind of get behind it?
Yeah. Setting it up that way, though, it does make the season run a long time. That Bliss Temptation game was the first week of the season. It was April 14th. The championship, Dan, the Legends Cup, isn't scheduled till September 8th. So they do run a long season. And let's see, it appears, they used to be on television. They used to show games on a... I don't remember the name of the network. I believe it was one of the country music networks that was showing the games, but I'm not sure. But now it looks like the games are only available on YouTube.
Yay. That means they have no funding. but when you only have one game a week, you have nothing kind of supporting the league. You're just kind of flying by the seat of your pants.
Yeah, that's...
hoping that the $40 or $50 ticket sales are going to help generate some revenue to get the girls, from Chicago to LA.
Yeah, that's gotta make it tough to, to kind of keep going with this. But yeah, I was interested to see if they had a ticket price.
You can generate revenue.
Yeah.
I looked into it, and it was ridiculous. It was something that I was like, oh, that would be cool to go to. No, not paying that. Because I believe one year in Chicago, they...
General admission is $18 bucks.
That's not bad.
Yeah, then they have, obviously they have their different deals. You can get on the party deck for $23. They have something called the Albert's Zone for $28. Bliss Nation, which I don't know what that is 48. And then if you're a VIP, a Bliss VIP, that's 68. So there are some different pricing. I don't know why, you know, you would spend anything more than the $18 to go see one of these games. I mean, they are interesting to watch. I've seen some of them on television when they were on, and it's hard hitting considering you've got, basically you have women running around in thongs and shoulder pads, more or less. But they still get after it. You know, there's no holding back. So I don't think I would want to run into any of these women on the football field. So that's kind of frightening. But I believe Dan has hit his break time here. So let me jump over to FanDuel. I took another bath last night, in case you were wondering. I can give you my point total here again. For whatever reason, I'm just not hitting. It seems to be my new thing now that when I pick a guy, he just doesn't hit. So, you know, that's the thing. Yeah, I racked up a whopping 73.8 points. As you can imagine, I took quite a bath. Hopefully we will bounce back tonight here, but let's see. Alex Wood was what you would call below average, racked up 24 points for me. That's because he only hung around about five innings like pitchers do. Freddie Freeman was a complete bust at 3.5 points. Eduardo Nunez was below average at 9.5. Josh Donaldson was also a bust at 9.2. Manny Machado was a huge bust for me at 6.2. Nelson Cruz didn't produce, just 3 points there. Aaron Altair did all right. I only paid $2,400 for him. He got me 12.4 points. Craig Gentry managed 6 points, so as a $2,000 player, I'm not crushed by that, but it would have been great if he would have got the double digits. And then Mike Zunino got me the big zero, so my Mariners really backed me up last night. So tonight we jump in, see what we got going on. I got to wait for it to skip over and get me going. You know how long these things take to get going with my luck sometimes here. But, yeah, I went with Garrett Richards. Was supposed to be the pitcher of the day. I saw a couple different people mention him as the guy. So I paid the $8,800 for him. He's at home against Minnesota. So I'm hoping that kind of works out. We'll see how that goes. Then I have Lucas Duda as my first baseman. He cost me $2,500. He's hitting fifth for the Royals tonight. Second base, going with Chase Utley, $2,300. He's hitting sixth for the Dodgers tonight. My third baseman is Matt Carpenter of the Cardinals, $2,700. He's hitting second for the Cardinals tonight. I'm plugging Machado in again. I keep hearing he's going to be a good play, $4,400, hitting third for the Orioles. So we'll see how this works out. I'm also on the Nelson Cruz bandwagon again, $3,800. There's no way a Mariner would let me down 2 days in a row. He's hitting cleanup for them. Ryan Braun is hitting third for the Brewers tonight in Colorado, so I'm hoping that works out for me. He's $3,700. I wrap up my outfield with Jock Peterson of the Dodgers for $2,500. I can't remember who it was, but he was somebody's value play of the day. And then I'm sorry, Braves fans, but I'm back on the Freddie Freeman bandwagon. Either he's going to hit or you guys are going to sink with me. $4,300. He's hitting third for the Braves tonight. So there you go. There's that. We'll give you the quick recap. Garrett Richards is my pitcher. Lucas Duda at the catcher first base slot. Chase Utley at second. Matt Carpenter at third. Manny Machado at short again. My outfield is Nelly Cruz one more time. Ryan Braun and Jock Peterson. And then my utility guy is Freddie Freeman. So there you go. We'll see how that one works out. And I know, of course, you are very interested to see who is in my home run derby. I have to check myself because I have to make sure my third guy is actually playing and get a quick swap here because he is actually out of the lineup. So I've got to make a quick run here and eliminate this guy and see who we can who we can find. Let's try this. Yeah, we'll go with this route then. All right, no surprise here. It reset to the top of the page. Sorry. I have Bryce Harper, who's leading off for the Nationals tonight. He's one of my home run guys. Then I have Mike Trout, who's batting second for the Angels tonight. So there you go, 1 and 2. I'm pairing them up with Travis Shaw, who, to be honest, has actually just flat-out sucked as of late. I think he's hitting like 077 over his last 10 games. But, hey, the Brewers are in Colorado, right? What the hell? Let's take a shot, see if he'll hit a couple bombs for me tonight. So there you go. Harper, Trout, and Shaw are my home run guys. So, again, as always, good luck. Neither Harper or Trout have homered for me since I started using them in this format. So we shall see if that continues tonight. But there you go. There's my my wonderful FanDuel setup for you. I hope you do better than I do. Because, man, I stink as of late.
Yep. I got Harper, Trout, and Mookie.
Woohoo! So, you know. Well, you know what? Interestingly, Dan, I saw that, you know, you and I talked about it the other day. David Price got skipped from his start because he has a mild case of carpal tunnel. Well, he has now came out and said that he will no longer play Fortnite when he is in the ballpark, and he should be able to make a start on Saturday. You know, Dan, I know Fortnite is some kind of, you know, what is it, MMO game or something, multimedia online, but I've never played it. No. Do you know anything about Fortnite?
I thought I muted myself. My nephew told me everyone likes to play it because it's free compared to the Call of Duties and stuff. I don't know much about it at all. I still have an Xbox 360. I don't know if they even sell games for that anymore. You know, you've got your PlayStation 3. I got my 360. We're like 10 years behind now, I guess. So, I don't know anything about this game.
You know, I mean, humorously, I saw the Brewers actually project it onto the scoreboard when the players are playing each other, like before games and stuff. So you can actually see it there while they're doing that. So that was kind of cool. But other than that, yeah, I know diddly squat about the game. So.
No, I mean, I watched my nephew play it. My younger nephew, he's like in second or third grade. He spent the night one weekend, and, you know, I think the cool part is, you know, his parents aren't together anymore, and he has a brother from his father's side, and, you know, he spent the night playing Fortnite with his dad and his brother, his older brother. So, I mean, in that sense, I think it's a cool thing. But other than that, I barely plugged in my Xbox 360 last weekend. And we've lived in our house since September. And the only reason I did that was because I got a new entertainment center, and it was a pain to put it all together. And my daughter plays Fruit Ninja on her Kindle Fire tablet thing. So we wanted to see if she would, know how to play, you know, figure out how to play it on the Xbox. We just thought it'd be fun for her on a rainy day. So. But yeah, I mean,
since I know Mr. Fantasy's not listening, I haven't turned the PS3 on since you bought me that Civilization game. But don't tell him that, okay? I don't even know how long ago was that. Was that two birthdays ago or one? I don't even remember. But yeah, we don't know that. So.
Well, I could kind of tell the last time I was over because the. I think you could peel the dust off of your PlayStation.
it is a little rough. I got to run the vacuum over it. I wanted to buy that, now that we're way off base here, but have you seen the thing they call the Dust Daddy now that hooks up to your vacuum and it's supposed to get dust out of all the places that you can't reach? Yeah, so, but all right, well, I'm going to get us back on track here. We have one game that was final earlier today, Dan, but oddly, I don't believe it was on television. I figured the MLB network would show it. The Phillies beat the Giants 6-3. It was a Facebook game. Oh, okay. Your guys, Vince Velasquez got the win. Ty Black took the loss, finally. But Hector Neris picked up a save. So there you go. And here's the rest of the rundown tonight. Of course, you know, we got game 3 of the most important series in the world, and the Yankees have won both of them. So now there's already talk about the Yankee dominance if they can tonight, even though, Dan, it's just May. We got Eduardo Rodriguez for the Red Sox, and your guy CeCe taking the hill for the Yankees tonight. Sabathia on the mound there. The Royals are at the Orioles. We got Ian Kennedy and Chris Tillman making the start there. The Mariners at the Blue Jays. We'll see Mike Leake and J.A. Hopp start there. The Braves are at the Marlins. It's Mike Fulton-Nawitz and Caleb Smith as the listed starters. I think I saw where Smith hasn't given up an earned run in like 14 or 15 innings. So that could be interesting, especially for a Miami pitcher. The Brewers are at Colorado. It's Julius Chacin against German Marquez. The Nationals at the Diamondbacks. That should be a good matchup. Tanner Roark against Zach Greinke. FS1 has a game tonight, Dan. The Twins, the Angels. Jose Berrios against Garrett Richards. If you have the Mickey Mouse app, Dan, you can watch the Cincinnati Reds at the Los Angeles Dodgers. That's Tyler Mahle against Walker Buehler. And then the night wraps up with the Cardinals at the Padres. Miles Mikolas against Jordan Lyles. So there you go, Dan. And I know I didn't say it, but the Yankees-Red Sox game is on MLB Network. And you got Bob Costas and Jim Cott again. So.
Now, you mentioned that the game, the Dodgers-Reds game is on the ESPN app. So, I mean, obviously, you know, you and I, with the access we have, we don't really need all that. But it is cool to kind of bounce around. Is that – because they don't do Thursday Night Baseball. Is that something they're trying to do now to get some more, usage out of their app, just throw a baseball game on there without having the rights to, like, Thursday Night Baseball?
I believe they've been showing them nightly now. Like, tomorrow you get the Mets and the Phillies. Then Saturday they actually have an afternoon game. They actually have the A's and the Yankees on in the afternoon. So they've been, they've been trying to show more and more games there on it. It makes sense. I mean, this time of year, if you're going to have the app, you might as well throw baseball on it. Because otherwise you just saw what you show in Sports Center in a loop.
Yeah, 3 hours of Stephen A. Smith. Thank you.
Right. They're pushing that new show so hard with Greenberg's new show because they don't want it to tank after he bailed on a successful radio show. But you could probably watch that over and over. I think they show that 3 times in the morning. It goes from like the main station to the Deuce, and then I think it even goes to like the U or Classic or something. So.
Because it's instantly a classic, huh?
Yeah, well, they're just doing everything they can to try to make it successful. They're really pushing the snot out of him to try to help him out because this is what he wanted. I think he got a little tired of Golic being the star of the radio show. So.
Yeah, but, that's part of the problem is you could – be tired of the Golic being the star, but at the end of the day, Golic was the former athlete, and Greenberg didn't really, when I did listen to them, I don't want to say he didn't have any input, but he didn't really have any real insight into anything.
No, he's definitely, he's corporate. He's like the definition of your corporate announcer. He's not going to take a really aside, he's literally going to go right down the middle and, nothing's going to agitate him. So. It's probably a good thing he's on with Beal and Rose because I like her. She'll actually, take sides and do that kind of stuff. I haven't seen much of Rose to know how he is. So.
Yeah. But I mean, they were a good compliment to each other and, because Greeny? Because that's what I, every morning, Greeny.
Yeah.
I guess what I mean by he didn't really have any insight was everything was it was almost like his interview guest every day was Golic. He didn't really have a stance or a point on anything. It was just, LeVar Ball did this and blah, blah, blah. What do you think about it, Golic? You know, I mean, you know, the kid running back from Dallas did, you know, allegedly did some stuff in college, and I don't have any opinion, but Golic, what do you think? You know, everything was Golic. Hey, what do you think? And so, like you said, if he was upset that Golic was becoming more the star of the show, so to speak, well, you kind of handed it over to him. And that happens by never taking a point or, like you said, a side or just having a real opinion.
Yeah, I mean, there was, you know, and I mean, when you – you know, you look at Greenberg, and I mean, you've seen this through the years as a wrestler with, you know, guys coming up. There's always that one guy who thinks he deserves to be a star, but then you hear his promos and, you know, there's no charisma. He's just kind of, he's not looking up at the camera. You know, he's talking into the microphone. He's not even looking at the guy interviewing him. And there's just nothing there. But he thinks he deserves to be, you know, he's got to be the champion. He's got to be this. And then he goes off and starts his own Fed and, you know, falls on his face. That's very much what akin to this is. You know, Greenberg doesn't have that personality. Golic has that over-the-top personality that people are attracted to. There's nothing about Greenberg's personality that makes you want to jump on board and listen to him. And again, that's where, you know, Michelle Beadle and Jalen Rose come in, because she does. Like I said, again, I like her very much when she was doing Sports Nation. I thought she was very enjoyable. And I know I've seen enough of Rose to know he is personable. And he can relate, and he will, especially when it comes to NBA, he'll call guys out, you know, because obviously he was a former player. So he's not afraid to, you know, he's not afraid to say, okay, hey, look, you know, this is not, you know, not how it goes. So, you know, but yeah, I just, and you know, the weird part is, how is this going to be any different, Dan? I mean, he's, you know, now instead of one person, he's basically got two people who might outshine him. What the hell did they do next with him?
Yeah. Well, and you know, with that, having two people, it's almost like he becomes more of the moderator.
Right.
You know, now you really don't have to take a side because you can get these two to take opposite sides, you know?
So he's Molly Curum, and he's sitting between Stephen A. and Max Kellerman. Don't they have that show already? So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, and that was, you know, and it's hard to say because I don't know if he did broadcasting or journalism school, but, you know, a lot of the courses cross over. You know, the difference between broadcasting and journalism when I was in college was the fact that the journalism kids had to dress up to school every day. We didn't. We got to wear whatever we wanted. That was the major difference. And, you know, the journalism kids were slightly a little bit more, I don't want to say they were uptight, but their program was definitely a lot more uptight. So I don't know if that, you know, reflected on all of them. You've met some cool ones, but they were a little uptight. But, you know, even one of the courses we had, I couldn't tell you the name of it, but our, you know, our big project was, take a major topic, and you know, one guy is for it, one guy is against it, and there was no, you know, mediator. Everyone was paired up. We had an even amount of people in the class, thankfully. It worked out that way, and everyone had to pick a topic and take a side. You know, and I, you know, me, I could not say I'm not wishy-washy, I don't flip sides all the time, but you know, some things I don't really, I could see both sides. And not that I don't, you know, enjoy good old conflict, but hey, you know, I didn't really matter. And when my partner, who was a kind of a stand-up comedian, you know, we presented our idea to the teacher, and she looked at me and she's like, "You really better be for animal testing," you know, because of course he was against it. And I was like, "Yes, I'm totally for it."
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm not for it at all. I'm not really for it, but you know, everyone else's topics were pretty lame. and we picked the most controversial topic as far as the class went, and we both aced it. I think he had an easier time because the entire class just attacked me, but, you know, I watched enough politics to be able to divert the attention away from myself. Or, you know, I did the old, you know, when someone came up and was like, hey, you know, someone called in and said, you know, the old, well, Revlon or, you know, this company does this. And I say, well, I can't speak for that company because my company does it this way. You know, so I went that route. But, you know, going back to Greeny, he, you know, you would think that he would have some of that in him where he can actually take a stand. And you're right. I didn't even know
well,
he was on TV. I thought he just went away.
Yeah, he, you know, he graduated from Northwestern. You know, he got his degree, you know, at McDill, the journalism school there, which is, you know, that's big time. You know, I had a buddy go there, mm-hmm. and I know it's quite pricey to attend. So, you know, he's obviously a smart guy. He's just not personable enough to kind of draw people to him. And, you know, those are the kind of things you need when you want to be that up in front guy, you know, it with something like this or like that. You know what I mean? I think that was part of the reason, you know, they did, you know, the Mickey Mouse Network did the big SC6 with Michael Smith and Jemele Hill. And while they were both really personal, you know, personable, you know, Hill got a little carried away with, you know, her Twitter feed and really, you know, I think took the initiative of trying to make it a little more personal than even the network wanted. And now she works for, what is it, the Undefeated or the Uncovered or whatever it is, which is still an ESPN, which is still a Mickey Mouse Network company, just with the name. So,
yeah. Well, and, you know, with,
you know,
Greenberg,
Smith is currently in limbo.
Yeah, kind of being more of the stiff side. Do you think that's why a lot of former players have success in radio and TV? Because, I mean, let's be honest, they play the game, which obviously gives them the, you know, the credibility, but not even that, you take that away from them. But the fact that with playing that sport comes with dealing with the fans, and you got guys who are completely personable and the fans love them. But then there's the guys that are complete jerks and everyone hates them unless they're on their team. They love them, you know? So it's kind of like either way, whether they completely love you or they completely hate you, you end up being able to work really well on TV because you can kind of play your role.
Yeah, well, the funniest guy I think that AJ Pierzynski is easily one of the best baseball analysis guys out there. When on Fox and he's doing games, he's just in the studio. If you didn't have Pierzynski on your team, you hated his guts. he was the worst, but you know you get him behind the mic, and you know he's proven that he's a very intelligent guy, and I'm really a little surprised that a team hasn't. So you know maybe we'll see that someday.
Yeah, well he's probably not falling into the I love sabermetrics crap.
Yeah. So. All right, well, I know I got it right. Hey, I know Dan is still going with the Predators to win tonight, so we don't have to go through that. The game is tonight, so I'm okay there. Sorry about that yesterday. I really thought it was happening. But the music means we're leaving, but we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30, so meet us here live to do this all one more time. While we're gone, though, sportstimeradio.com. Check out the blog that went up there yesterday. Link over to the Facebook page and give it a like. Don't forget that Twitter feed, though, which is at sportstimeradio. You can stalk Dan and I on Twitter if you'd like. We'd be cool with that. As always, thanks for listening to us live. But don't forget, the podcast is available for you at tunein.com.